Good morning, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN Radio. This is a topic that is so incredibly important to protect people, to protect dogs, and potentially even save their lives. We're talking about dog bite prevention. Indeed, from the American Veterinary Medical Association, April 11 through 17 is Dog Bite Prevention Week. We'll find out what that means. Dr. Doug Kratt is the president of the American Veterinary Medical Association. Hello, Dr. Kratt.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Okay, and also Heather Paul, who is with State Farm Insurance, is a spokesperson. Why would we talk to State Farm Insurance? We'll get to that in a moment. I said dog bite prevention, emphasizing that word the best I can, Dr. Kratt. Is that really what it's about? Can most dog bites be prevented?
You know, Steve, most dog bites can be prevented, and I love you stressing the word prevention in this. And I also love there's so many of us, not just the American Veterinary Medical Association, getting the word out that dog bite prevention is very important. You know, we want to look at making sure that we can read our pets and the stresses and the things that are going with it, but also making sure that there's not an illness that might be making or an injury that might be making them more uncomfortable that might lead to some of these situations. We do know that most dog bites happen within the home.
Which is a perfect lead-in to explain why Heather Paul is here from State Farm. So you probably, friends, have homeowners insurance. I hope you do. Whether you rent, whether you're in a condo, whether you own a home, it doesn't matter. Homeowners insurance, I'm not selling it for you, Heather. I think people know it's a good thing. I don't think I need to sell anything for you. But there are companies, in fact, let me rephrase that. Most companies that supply homeowners insurance say, you can't have a fill in the blank, name the dog breed. Always pit bulls are on that list, even though in reality, most pit bulls you see are only mixed breed dogs. And maybe Akitas are on that list. Maybe Rottweilers, Dobermans. Maybe even in some places, in some states, Australian Shepherds, I heard. So crazy to me, it makes no sense to me. And State Farm, apparently, it makes no sense to State Farm because State Farm says, we care about the dog you have in your home, the temperament of that dog, but we really don't care about breed. Did I say that correctly?
I couldn't have said it better myself. You are selling it great, Steve. We absolutely recognize, as we all should, that pets are a member of the family. But we specialize in providing and reducing your risk and providing coverage for that risk. What we aren't specialists in is identifying or looking at a dog and saying, because that dog looks like a blocky head dog, it is automatically more dangerous than any other type of dog. Because dogs are individuals and they have unique personalities just like human beings do. So you cannot look at a dog and know because it has a blocky head or because it's fluffy and it's curled tail that it's going to react a certain way in a situation. And instead, we want to focus on exactly what Dr. Kratt was talking about, which is responsible pet ownership and how we can help reduce dog bites. It's good for people and it's great for the pets.
And there are definitive things that we can do and should be doing to reduce dog bites. I mean, after all, any dog can bite, but not every dog happily does bite. Most don't. We'll get to that in a second. But I want to continue along this path here. So insurance companies, and please don't be offended, Heather Paul, but insurance companies can tell you that drivers, let's say, we're talking auto insurance now, drivers between the ages of 37 and 38 with six eyes, blue hair, and three noses are likely to get into X number of accidents. Your data that insurance companies have is incredible when it comes to drivers and lots of other things. And everything insurance companies do, at least we're told, is based on data. What they insure, what they don't insure, and the cost of that insurance. When it comes to dogs, however, and homeowners insurance, how do they know, and if the data were universal, because Akitas, just pulling a breed out of my hat, Akitas are no different in Tennessee than, say, Kentucky. But yet, by at least one insurance company, this is true, you can have an Akita, no problem, we'll insure you, in one of those states, but not the other. That, to me, is absolutely inconsistent.
Well, you're exactly right. And we are very detailed in when it comes to auto estimatics, when it comes to even knowing where you're more likely to have damage from hail. What we don't have, though, is a uniform way to report consistently what type of dog. And as you mentioned, for example, bully breeds, American Pit Bull Terrier, American Staffordshire Terrier, Staffordshire Bull Terrier, American Bully. All of these, you know, that it encompasses 11 to 12 different types of dogs. So looking at a dog and knowing what type of breed it is challenging because if you adopt a dog and the animal shelter rescue says, well, we think that it looks like a pit bull lab mix. Do you report it as a pit bull? Do you report it as a lab mix? Do you just report it as a mixed breed dog or a mutt? So there's great challenges in identifying that type of dog, but even more so, just because you've identified that type of dog, you know, from our perspective, we can't determine or blame the dog. It's going to act this way because we've labeled it as a bully breed or a shepherd mix or something like that.
And Dr. Kratt...
So it is a challenge.
Yep. Dr. Kratt, certainly breed does matter for some things. I mean, absolutely. If I want to have a sled dog, probably a miniature poodle isn't going to get me very far. But when it comes to temperament and when it comes to dog bites, the size of the dog matters with the severity of the bite. But other than that, does breed even come into play as far as you're concerned?
Breed doesn't come into play as far as I'm concerned, as far as the American Veterinary Medical Association is. It's not a breed issue. I'm not for breed bans. It is an action. So I think that you hit it off earlier, any dog can bite. We can paint a picture of what the perfect family dog is. And yes, it's a perfect family dog, but if there are certain circumstances, it potentially can bite. So we need to be looking at that. And we can also paint a negative picture on, and I think that we've done a great job of talking about the bully breeds on their stigma and what they potentially could be a breed that bites. But again, I've seen it go all the way across the spectrum. Animals that I wouldn't think would be coming in for a bite report have. And yet I've seen some of these breeds that may be singled out that you've talked about that have been great service animals for the vision impaired or something on that line. So I've seen it go across the spectrum. And so don't go to the breed, read the pet, and try to keep them out of situations or help desensitize them to the situations that might make them more reactive.
So what does reading Heather, hold on a second.
Sure.
Because we've got to do this thing called breaking for commercials. So we're going to find out what reading a pet means, and we're going to learn about prevention. We're going to have some actual tips for you, friends, about how to prevent dog bites from happening in the first place, so we hopefully never have to have this discussion again. We'll be right back on WGN. Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN, always honored to speak with the president of the American Veterinary Medical Association, Dr. Douglas Kratt. By the way, avma.org, not only to learn more about dog bite prevention, but in the news, this thing called COVID-19, this little pandemic. Are you interested or concerned about how any of that can relate to our pets? The American Veterinary Medical Association has lots of information. They've done an amazing job. Amazing job, Dr. Kratt. AVMA.org. We're also talking with Heather Paul from State Farm Insurance, who's the spokesperson there. So a dog bite gets reported. What, Heather, does that mean? So here's what I mean. So let's say I'm walking down the stairs in my house, just walking down the stairs. And because I'm clumsy, I trip over the dog. Does that count as a claim that would be lumped into that sum of dog bites?
Well, if it was your own dog, you probably wouldn't file that as a claim. If it was you visiting your friend or family member, and you walk in, dog jumps up on you, you fall down the stairs and break a leg.
Oh, no.
Yes, that could certainly be a claim. And that's where we often see some of the expensive claims that come from dog-related injuries. It all is lumped in into a certain code. A claim is a claim. And so we've had instances, even just one recently in California, where we had a Maltese that was being carried out on a walk, almost jumped out of the hands of the person that was walking the dog, scared an elderly man who fell off the curb, broke his hip,
a
$600,000 claim because that involved rehab and surgery. So there's an instance where it's a small dog, and it causes, you know, could cause catastrophic damage, and it's not necessarily a bite. So it is all about maintaining control of your dog when you're in public setting.
How did we do with claims in 2020?
So in 2020, we actually had a reduction in the number of claims. State Farm alone had about 3,185. What is alarming is the amount that we paid. So the amount that we paid for dog-related injury claims was nearly $157 million. That's just State Farm.
So dog bite claims went down, but the amount of money being paid out, and I believe, according to the Insurance Institute, along the line, it's not only State Farm, it's industry-wide, that the amount of money paid for claims has gone up. Why do you think that is? Are people, were they just more litigious because they had less time to do anything else in 2020?
But that part of it is our very litigious nature. You have an injury or a bite and you sue. And it's part of it is also medical costs associated with that. You may need plastic surgery or rehabilitation. Some of those are severity of injuries, and that's not necessarily severity of bites, but severity of injuries like the one that I just mentioned.
Sure.
And then, of course, last year in particular, while we weren't taking our dogs out and about in public because we were on COVID lockdown, dogs in the home had experienced a lot of anxiety and stress that they were picking up from us. And all that increased activity in the home. Kids were home from school. They were bored. They were yelling and screaming, and we were stressed. Our dogs picked up on that, and many of them acted out.
All right. That's perfect transition. Thank you, Dr. Kratt. All right. Most bites happen where?
They happen in the home, and unfortunately, most bites happen to children.
And oftentimes, most oftentimes, if they happen in the home, it would make sense that they are children the dog is very familiar with and probably lives with every day. So if we're home all the time and the dogs are home all the time, not necessarily a surprise to me that we're seeing an increase in dog bites, but we're not seeing an increase in dog bites. So that's good news that they actually went down. Am I right?
I think that if we can eliminate dog bites, I think we all know that we'd be happier. And it is good news that it went down. With so much more time being spent with our pets during the COVID pandemic.
Yeah. So I want to talk about prevention. And anytime your seemingly wonderful dog says something, usually with a growl, and is not acting quite the same way, and you have this feeling in the pit of your stomach and you think, oh, my dog would never bite. But there's something. You know there's something that isn't quite right. Do you see a veterinarian before anything can happen?
You know, if your pet's acting strange, if your pet's trying to tell you something and is acting strange, then yes, obviously, you contact your veterinarian, the veterinary team, and see how they can assist. There may be a health concern. There could be an ear infection. There may be a bad tooth. They may have zigged when they were supposed to zag when they were playing fetch. It could be any number of things, or maybe arthritis is setting in. So a lot of those can be taken care of before anything else happens. And Stevie brought up a point of, you know, there's other things that we can watch with our pets. If they're stressed, they may be a little bit more clingy, or they may be panting at inappropriate times. They may be more withdrawn. Heck, they may even decide to be a little more destructive within the house if they're a little more stressed out. And we'd already talked about they feed off of us, so I know during the initial stages of the pandemic, I was much more anxious, and I had to kind of hit my own reset button a few times at night after work, and because my pet was, one of my dogs was acting strange, and I'm like, ah, Doug, she's telling you something, you better listen.
Well, on Monday, there is going to be a free event that both of these great people, Dr. Doug Kratt and also Heather Paul from State Farm, will be on. Also, there'll be a representative from the Insurance Institute, American Humane Association, and also the amazing Victoria Stilwell. And I'm moderating the session presented by the American Veterinary Medical Association on dog bite prevention. For a link, you can go to my website, stevedale.tv, with all the information about this free, and yes, I do say, and it is my favorite four-letter word, free event, which is a great thing. And you will have an opportunity to ask questions from all of these experts as well. And I know Victoria will go through all of the signs, because I know what she does, of anxiety in your dog, potentially. And your dog is almost always telling you something is up. And she will describe in detail what that might look like, depending on the kind of dog you have. So for details on that, check out my website, stevedale.tv. Also, you can go to the AVMA fan page on Facebook or their page on Facebook, and that's where you can catch this Facebook Live. But the exact link is on my website. Again, the event, no charge at all. Have I said that often enough, Heather Paul? It's free.
You have.
Yes, I thought so. Heather Paul, thank you from State Farm Insurance, and I sincerely thank you so much for saying, as a company, and I know you're a leader here, it doesn't matter what kind of breed you have, it matters what kind of dog you have. Dr. Doug Kratt from the American Veterinary Medical Association, AVMA.org. If people want to learn more about Dog Bite Prevention Week, Dr. Kratt, thank you so much. So I've always talked about on the radio how the industry I kind of represent, the pet industry, is recession-proof. Yeah, even pandemic-proof, apparently. So, while the United States and the world's overall economy took a free fall in 2020, I don't think I need to be an economist to understand that, right? The total of pet product sales in the United States reached, how much do you think? Take a guess. Maybe $5 billion? $100 million? The real answer? $100 billion. Billion with a B. Dollars, according to the American Pet Products Association. U.S. pet food numbers grew 9.7% for a total of $42 billion out of that chunk. Veterinary care at $32 billion grew as well. Kind of incredible, right? And the prediction is that more will be spent even in 2021. You know, with all the adoptions, there are more pets in America than ever before. That's part of it. But part of it is really, as tough as things have been, we are still being really good to our companion animals. Imagine if you lived in the UK. Police are now warning residents of Three Rivers in Hertfordshire, United Kingdom, to beware of 20 rhea birds running amok. What are rhea birds? Think ostrich in your head. They kind of look like ostriches. They're 5 feet high or so. They're native to South America. Unfortunately, we have received reports of them attacking dogs and deer. So we ask that dog owners are vigilant when out walking their dogs, said Police Constable Christian Gutman. So be very careful if you happen to be going to the UK. No, forget about COVID. Just watch out for the rhea birds. Next week on the show, Sandy Delisle will be here talking about a movie she's making to dispel the myths, and they are myths, that so many people have regarding pit bulls. And we'll talk and visit the Posha Shop, a very unique pet store offering items for your dogs with a Mexican theme. That's next week on Steve Dale's Pet World Bright and Early. See you then.